We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Listening to Snacky Tunes.
Man,
that is Oberhofer, who will be live in studio today, and actually will be our last live performance in studio of the year.
Who's next week?
We have Beg to Differ. It's a DJ set. It's different.
You're listening to Snacky Tunes on Heritage Radio Network. I'm one half of your host, Ted Diabolic, and Finger on the Pulse. With me is the always pleasant and bearded,
sometimes
bearded DJ. Never forget.
Better than last week.
Last week you were in trouble.
Last week I was in trouble.
You were struggling, but we are here today. It is December. The chill has set in, and
Robertus has built this. Like all the construction you heard on last week's show has actually turned into this really nice covered outdoor seating area.
Yes,
which may or may not double as a greenhouse come summer if they don't know how to take the top off. Pop the top.
Listen, one of the best things about the way television works these days is that you no longer have to wait for the September time of year to roll around for new shows. It's essentially new things are getting debuted all the time. And we are joined today by Chef Richard Blaze, who is on and will be on one but not two shows this winter. Richard, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Good to hear from you, my man.
Good to hear from you.
How is Atlanta?
It's 20 degrees right now, actually, if
wow.
you can believe that.
That's worse than us.
People think it's Hotlanta, but it's quite chilly today.
So, Richard, you are debuting in two shows this month. The first one was Top Chef Masters, which just aired its second episode last week. And,
that's right.
And safe to say you're still alive.
Still alive. You know, I'll be around Wednesday night for sure. So, you know, I can't really talk about the show, but so far so good, and we'll be on the screen Wednesday night.
Awesome. Can you talk to me a little bit about what happened in the first episode? with the going over the time limit and how things may or may not have been perceived as they actually happened?
Sure, you're going like right to the hardcore questions.
Right,
exactly, serious stuff. I mean, you know, I went over the limit, so that's you know what you saw on the TV is what happened. But certainly, you know, things are a little bit more confusing than you know maybe what was you know shown on the television screen. You know, that being said, you know, a buzzer went off. I was you know finishing my plate. You know, what I can say is, you know, nothing was being done to the plate that changed the flavor of it. I was really just sort of polishing the dish and you know didn't hear the beeper, and that's kind of what happened. You saw what happened.
Well, so it goes. I'm sure that you and your fans have nothing to worry about for the rest of the season. I'm sure you'll do well, and we'll see you for many weeks to come.
You can't put the guy on the spot like that. He already said he didn't want to talk about it.
I know. I mean
you can try and backdoor it. He'll be there Wednesday.
Okay.
And that's all he can say. All
right.
I'll be there Wednesday.
Richard, I got your back.
All right.
But good season this year. You had a lot of fun getting to hang out with past cast members and people that you had seen on other episodes.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you know, the competition is fierce, and the camaraderie was also amazing. I mean, I think the neatest thing about, you know, working with everyone was the educational side of things and really getting a chance to learn. You know, I mean, as a chef, that's what we do every day. If we're not learning, then, you know, it's not a good day. And I think that was, to me, you know, that's the best part of this season is just you have so many different diverse styles and, you know, and personalities, and, you know, the competition is, the pressure is so intense that it was just, you know, it made for some good educating for sure.
And I know that you probably keep in touch with the people from your season, but cross season, how much interaction is there? Was a lot of new faces, or if you're once, you know, part of the Top Chef family, you kind of meet each other over the seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's definitely, I've never been in a fraternity or a sorority, but that's pretty much what it is. You know, it's, you're the class of this year versus the class of the next year, but you sort of, you know, get to know people, you do different events and you do different functions, and it is one family, and it's rare that, you know, you don't know some. I think on this cast of All Stars, I think there was maybe one or two people that I had not worked with prior to filming. So we all know each other, and we, you know, that makes the competition, I think, a lot different as well, since you kind of do know the people that you're competing against.
And you sort of get an insight looking at their seasons of what they're going to cook. It's not like you're just in it, you know, sort of blind, right?
Exactly. You know a little bit about them, and, you know, I think that's a good and a bad thing, because you kind of know what people's personalities are. You know, some people might know what buttons to push, and, you know, how people also have sort of just been, you know, perceived. You know, I'm also a fan, you know, of Food TV and Top Chef, so a lot of, you know, what was interesting to me is a lot of these people that you see that you have, you know, you're like, oh, that guy, you know, he can't cook, or this person over here is all about personality. You know, you get to know them and you realize that, you know what, you know, everyone actually can cook, even if they have strong personalities, that, you know, it's a pretty talented group.
Right. So the other show that's coming out, it's coming out this Friday, 17 Science Channel, 10 p.m., is Blazoff. Blazoff, which you hosted, I directed, and I've seen the first two episodes, and they're fantastic, if I must say.
Well, you know what? The direction was fantastic. We'll see how the hosting part
went. Let's just do full disclosure here. Yeah. Darren was a director.
I said that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right, we're just going to reiterate it.
Yeah. Richard, why don't you tell us about the premise of the show and what people can expect this weekend, or this week?
I mean, the premise of the show is to see if science and technology and creativity can take iconic foods and hopefully make them better and at least more interesting. So I think that's kind of neat. You know, we go up against an iconic American food. I think the first episode is pizza. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see if we can, you know, engineer a slice of pizza that goes up against a traditional New York City slice and eat it in a taste-off.
Now, you know, part of the thing that's great about this show is that you are both sort of a teacher and a student, going to Patsy's and then being in your own kitchen. Can you talk to me about some of the things you learned about making pizza while taping?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, back to the education. I mean, that the first part of the show is really learning how, you know, whatever restaurant we're in does their signature dish. So at Patsy's, I'm learning how to make pizza that's, you know, known as one of the best, you know, slices in New York and probably nationwide. And, you know, I mean, I learned a lot. I learned so much that I've made pizza dough almost every other day, or some sort of bread almost every other day since we filmed, just because I was so inspired by, you know, the science behind actually great pizza. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but you know, it's inspiring. I learned a lot.
I'm glad you actually brought up the science, because one of the things I like about this show and makes it different than a lot of other cooking shows is that it really gets into the why. A little bit of the Harold McGee sort of what's going on when you turn on the heat or when you ice something down. And that also represents a lot of the cooking that you do. You explore the whys and the connections between different flavors and tastes.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you get into why things happen, it opens up, you know, the door to experimentation. And then often, you know, more often than not, that leads to, you know, discovery, if you will, of, you know, how to make something taste better or look better, and you know, make it a better eating experience. So yeah, we're into that. We're into messing things up and experimenting and trial and error for sure.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna play a quick song and then come back and we'll talk about Trailblaze and Flip Burger and all the things culinary that's going down in Hotlanta.
Right on.
You're listening to Snacky Tunes. We got Chef Richard Blaze calling in. I'm Terry Diabolik. DJ and Forget. Let's talk about who sponsored us today.
Big shout out to the Barter House, who is a proud sponsor of Heritage Radio Network. That's us. And its community of food lovers. The Barter House works with family vineyards, with small bottlers from around the world to bring only the finest and most flavorful wines to market. Committed to sustainable agricultural and artisanal products, the Barter House offers outstanding wines at a wide range of price points, retailers, restaurateurs, and private collectors. To learn more, please visit them on the web at thebarterhouse.com or call them at 917-463-3076.
Barter House. For your wine.
For your wine. And, yeah. And how is that pizza going over there?
This pizza's amazing.
Okay. So we are going to play a song right now by How to Dress Well. And then we're going to get back to Richard Blaze.
Right, How to Dress Well. Mm-hmm. Band to watch 2011?
2010, I feel.
Okay.
You wanna, yeah.
I mean, so we are on the phone with Richard Blaze, known as Top Chef Master, host of Blaze Off, and we are talking to him about his restaurants down in Atlanta. One of the things that you dealt with in Blaze Off was making burgers, and you own Free Burger, or you consult for Free Burger, places called Flip down in Atlanta, is that right?
Yeah, Flip Burger Boutique. So we have three locations right now, two in Atlanta, one in Birmingham, Alabama, and one getting ready to open soon in Washington, D.C. So Flip Burger is pretty much the Jetsons meets the hamburger restaurant.
And you have the Rosie?
What's that?
No, that's a terrible Jetson reference. Wow. So talk to me.
Rosie, oh, okay, yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
So talk to me about Flip Burger, because it's more than just a burger shop, and it's even more than, you know, the whole gourmet burger trend of, you know, Shake Shack and things like that. Like, it takes burgers to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a couple of the main things that, you know, separate us from a lot of, you know, other burger concepts is that we do use, you know, all of these techniques and styles that you see that I use on Top Chef and Blaze Off. You know, if you want to call it molecular gastronomy, that's fine. But, you know, sous vide burgers, liquid nitrogen milkshakes, you know, there's a menu of 20 to 25 different proteins. And, you know, all of that science and creativity, you know, done with, you know, food and flavors that we all know and enjoy. So it's more of a restaurant. You know, it's not like you just go on there, you wait online, you get a number, and then here comes, you know, your burger and your order of fries. It's a sit down, you know, more of a fine dining experience.
And you do more than just hamburgers, right? You have the duck goose burger. What is that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything, you know, it's burgers and then sides and, you know, fried items, of course, but, you know, our protein, duck goose, you know, we, instead of using beef, you know, ground up, we're using duck that's ground, and, you know, we're coating it with a layer of foie gras and, you know, crispy goose skin. And, you know, there's half of the menu is pretty much simple, not simple, but, you know, beef preparations. The other half of the menu sort of gets into some of the other proteins, whether it's, you know, ground shrimp or, in this case, duck. Or, you know, chorizo or ossobuco. It's you know, anything, you know, the idea is that if you came to Flip Burger, like you would go to your corner restaurant and you wanted chicken or you wanted seafood, those options are available. They just happen to be engineered into a burger.
So in addition to Flip Burger, you also do Trailblaze, which is your culinary consulting company?
Yeah, Trailblaze is, you know, anything that I do outside of Flip Burger right now, and, or, you know, the stuff that we do on TV. So it's consulting for other restaurants. It's demonstrating, lecturing around the country, working with a lot of products. You know, I'm working with a sous vide company, Sous Vide Supreme. It's the first sous vide unit available for the home cook. So it's more on the sort of the product development side and consulting side.
You know, a lot of times when people look at the type of food that you do, it can be intimidating at times. But you've actually done a really good job of taking the science or the mystery out of the science and making it available and acceptable for people at home. What's the biggest thing you could recommend if someone wanted to push their cooking to the next level?
I think the biggest thing to consider, and I think you know, what we do well at our restaurants is to start with the flavors that people love. You know, and I think Blaze Off really illustrates that. You can use creativity and science, but as long as you're starting with a hamburger, people are familiar with that. Pizza, people are familiar with that. It kind of enables you to be more creative and to have those creations accepted.
So when you start experimenting and you start getting inspired, you look at flavors first and then you move on to textures?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we want to start with, hey, what do you want to eat right now? I think that's always a good question for a chef. I think sometimes, you know, we can get caught up, you know, chefs that play in this genre or this box, we can get caught up in, you know, wanting to do something that's so new or extreme, and we end up with, you know, cola nuts and eucalyptus and, you know, a lot of great flavors, but sometimes, you know, they're just too far out there, you know, and definitely, you know, with my food, I want people to recognize at least the flavors as they're written on paper, and then, you know, kind of under-promise and over-deliver when they get it, say, oh, wow, that was more than a burger or more than pizza.
So as 2010 wraps up and we start looking to 2011, what do you think some of the trends are going to be for next year for food and for sort of the type of food that you do?
I really think, you know, just kind of continuing the last thought, that you're going to see this bridge sort of combine beautiful farm-to-table food and, you know, again, molecular gastronomy or creative food. I think that they've sort of been separated like East Coast, West Coast hip-hop wars, you know, like, you know, you're either simple and beautiful and organic and farm to table, or you're, you know, super high tech. And I think that we're going to sort of get into this area where everyone gets along, and you're seeing both types of food. You know, my food's farm to table. It just happens to be farm to liquid nitrogen tank table.
Right. Takes a little stop in the laboratory before it gets to the plate, right?
Exactly. But you still need those beautiful ingredients, and I think you're going to see those sort of things come together.
Now, I know that you're a big music fan. What do you listen to when you're getting inspired to cook or you're just working the line at your restaurant?
You know, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm intimidated by you asking me music questions.
Oh, so, come on, man.
You know, I have a 2.5-year-old, so I'm going to kind of – she's the one who sort of decides, you know, what's on the radio or what's on the sound system.
So a lot of Blues Clues, things like that. soundtrack?
You know, no, she's got a little bit, you know, she's got a nice ear, you know, a little bit past Blue's Clues and, you know, some of the Snoopy and Charlie Brown stuff. But she's, you know, I'm almost embarrassed to say, but she's really into Vampire Weekend right now.
That's great.
That's fine. Like
that's good cooking music.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We turn on Vampire Weekend and she starts dancing. And she requests it. So for 2.5 girls.
That's kind of all that really is a requirement for that younger age, if they'll dance to it.
Yeah, but I'm sure she's brought some like favorite stuff like the Muppets Take Manhattan B-sides. There's some really good deep cuts there.
Nice.
Well, Richard, as always, it's a pleasure hearing from you. I'm glad things are doing so well. When are you going to get back up to New York? When are you going to give people a taste of your food up here?
You know, I was just there last week at the James Beard House, and I'm finding myself there, you know, more often than not. So very soon, hopefully.
Awesome, Richard. Well, thank you so much. Say hello to everyone, your family. Hope everyone's doing well. And we got Top Chef this Wednesday on Bravo, and we have Blaze Off this Friday at 10 p.m. on the Science Channel. It's awesome.
Can't wait.
Hey, congratulations, man. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Wow. Guy's awesome.
Yeah, he's really great.
Great guy.
Do you know his work?
Yeah.
He does awesome food. His burger and his pizza that he made were fantastic.
Speaking of pizza, I want to eat a little bit more, so why don't we play a few songs, and then we'll have Brad from Oberhofer, a.k.a. Brad Oberhofer, same last name as the band, and live in studio. Yeah?
Yeah.
Does that sound?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Okay. So you're listening to Snacky Tunes. We're your host, Finger on the Pulse.
Hey-o.
Big shout
Snacky
out to
Tunes.
That's a drop. That actually was pre-recorded.
Big out to the Barter House for your wine.
For your wine. And coming up, we have songs from New Tory Moi, New Computer Magic, and then the new Y-Oak.
New Tory Moi? Do you put on?
Single was in my inbox while we were doing the interview, and I downloaded it, and we're going to play it right now.
That guy is prolific.
Yeah. So this is brand new. It's off his new record that's coming out in a couple weeks.
He's got a... All right. Snacky Tunes. Here we go.
Here we go.
I still keep my baby.
Yeah, just take it out.
That's good.
It's really good.
Is that live remix?
Yeah.
Snacky Tunes exclusive DJ Forget live Toy Moi remix.
Yeah, mouth mix.
Oh, actually, that's more of an edit.
That was actually Still Sound off the brand new record that's coming out in January. Before that was Computer Magic, The End of Time, who's actually Danzy. If you remember, was on here under the name Space Base, and if you want to check out that episode, you can actually go to our podcast. Just search Snacky Tunes in iTunes. And to start that off was Y Oak Civilian. Brad from Oberhofer is here, and he was actually saying something about the label, about the Y Oak people. than their label.
Yeah, they're on this label called Partisan, and it's basically just a bunch of people that are really passionate about songwriting and people who write good songs, and they're all just about the music,
which is awesome because that's what so much of us are about these days.
And not enough of us musicians are all about that. So it's
refreshing. What else are musicians about?
Sometimes musicians are about fitting an image. And there is an image that is very prominent right now within music, especially here in Brooklyn. And I feel like this label's really interesting because they're all about songs.
I mean, it's a good point, but let's step back and introduce you.
Oh.
Hi. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Snack Attack.
Yeah, Snack Attack. Brad is one quarter of Oberhofer and also has the same last name and is a gracious guest on the show who decided to join us today and come and play live and eat pizza with us and promise us a lot of opinions.
Yeah, I have them.
He has them. Why don't you give our listeners a small background on the band, like your elevator pitch, 30 seconds.
All right, 30 seconds. I'm from Tacoma, Washington, and I started out recording songs in my parents' basement, like many others, and came to New York, met a bunch of friends, and decided to play in a band with them.
Speaking of your parents' house, I read somewhere that it burned down. Is that totally am I totally wrong on that?
No, you're actually mostly right.
Did it all the way burn down, or it was like a...
No, it was a brick house, so it maintained just the interior.
Wow. Was anybody hurt?
No, no one was hurt. My dog was fine.
Okay, so that's the important things. So when did you come to New York?
I actually moved to New York nearly 2.5 years ago to go to school at New York University.
And you are in finals right now, right? Or just finishing?
Yeah, still in finals. This week is going
to
be nuts.
Allow me to tell you things that you will never miss once you graduate from college. Term papers, finals, midterms.
My nightmares, my stress nightmares, when I think about real big things, is always me being back in school. And then I have a lot of work to do, and I'm not doing it.
Yeah, that'll be mine, too. I'll be like, oh, my God, how have I missed 2 years of math class? And then I'll wake up and be like, I'm not in college anymore.
Yeah.
But you're studying something that apply. What are you studying?
Music theory and composition.
So, you know, it'll apply to what you're doing right now.
Hopefully someday.
Do you see it applying at all to your songwriting process or to what you're doing? Or is there still, like, a disconnect between what you're studying and what you're practicing?
Well, I think that, you know, studying music theory harnesses my, you know, my creative abilities. And this is all just creativity. And it's less intellectualized than orchestral music. And, like, you know, I think I subconsciously apply some music theory rules. But really, like, I don't really think so much about what I'm playing here.
Do you have a more professional background in your training? Or are you just, like, you know, kid with a guitar in his parents' house?
Well, as far as guitar playing goes, not at all. Really, I hardly understand theory on guitar, but, as far as composition goes, I've been studying for a while, and,
What's a while?
Well, I was a classically trained I'm a classically trained percussionist, studied that for 7 years, and then took music theory courses and stuff, you know, in high school, and, studied that, you know, at school, take private lessons.
Question. What is your favorite thing to bang on in percussion?
A timpani.
Ooh.
Ooh, good answer.
I didn't see that one. All right.
All right.
And follow-up question, what's your favorite thing to bang?
Snack attack.
Let's play a song.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So tell us what you're going to play.
This song is called Away From You.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah, live on Snacky Tunes.
Here we go.
Pushing me away from you, and there's nothing I can do. And I can't fight all of your battles for you. You're pushing me away from you, oh, and I know what I'll do. I'll hop the fence so I can get out of this mess. Oh, oh. Oh. Ah. away from you, and there's nothing I can do, and I can't fight all of your battles for you. You're pushing me away from you, oh, and I know what I'll do. Yeah, I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do. I'll get you out my mind.
Song again?
Away From You.
Can I get that anywhere?
Yeah, you can get it on our MySpace. We're gonna have a 7-inch coming out January 11th, and it'll be available through pre-order on InSound until then.
So we were talking about labels before, and you don't need to name the labels that you're talking with, but you're currently in the process of trying to find a home for your music.
Yeah.
And take us through that process, because we've had varying levels of established artists on here, people who've had their labels for 20 years, people are just starting out. So as a band that has hype and has had a strong year of playing and press and great CMJ and all the right pieces, where do you find yourself and how do you find the process?
Well, you have to figure out where your morals stand, and you have to figure out what you want. And you know, as a general rule in life, it's always the best thing to figure out the most moral option possible. And so you have to decide, is it more moral to be with a company that exploits a system that imposes music on people in order to get your music widespread because you believe you have a great message? Or is it more important to be involved with people that you see to have a more family-oriented ideal?
The way you kind of phrase it, it seems like the latter is the obvious choice.
Oh, but it's not.
Oh.
I don't think it's the obvious choice.
Mm-mm.
So where do you have a place where you're leaning, or are you still in the midst between those two positions?
And is there any label that falls in the middle that offers the best of both worlds?
There may or may not be a label that falls that falls in the middle, that lends itself to both properties, both the positive attributes of both. And I'm leaning more towards the latter. However, if you do exploit the sort of capitalist system that is functioning within music right now, eventually you can get to a point where you can maybe voice against it, or you could try to change the way music works, and you could try to change what you don't like about music because you've gained so much popularity by utilizing that system, which is so hypocritical.
Right, until someone's like, accept that if you didn't have those systems in place, you wouldn't be able to be in this position.
Exactly.
So what are some of the more, like, if you feel comfortable talking about, dastardly things that have been offered, or some of the wild promises that have been offered to you along this process?
You know, we haven't actually been offered anything extremely outrageous. Once I was asked to give my song for free to the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition DVD, And I was talking to the guy, and I was saying, "Sorry, it just doesn't abide by my morals. I'm just not down with it." And he was like, "I'm not peddling smut around. These aren't just girls with daddy issues." And it just like proved to me that this guy was actually extremely ignorant, and he was like,
"Wow, it got real."
Yeah,
that guy took it.
You're like, you know, I'm not down with this. And then all of his insecurities just, you know, popped right up.
Yeah, they totally did. And I was just like, dude, honestly, like, this, you know that part of this is wrong.
Somewhere. Yeah, with that reaction. So you say you're from Tacoma. Do you get to go home often, or are you mostly stuck in New York?
I get to go home often enough, but only for a week at a time, you know. And I wish I got to spend more time, but at this, you know, simultaneously, it's good to be here and to be productive and be setting things in place.
When you hit home, you got a favorite place to eat or favorite meal?
Yeah, I do have a favorite meal. My dad makes delicious crepes and
filled with
turkey, apple, and there's a kind of cheese that's made by Washington State University. And it's called Cougar Gold Cheese, and it's a really good sharp cheddar. So we have crepes filled with apples.
Cougar Gold.
Rawr. Snack attack.
Yeah. That actually sounds really good.
Yeah. Cougar Gold?
Well, the name is a little... They probably had the name before it took on like a
society. That is so regal.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? In honor of your dad's crepes, let's play another song.
All right, deal.
Yeah. And what song is this?
The song's called Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, this is the title track off your 7-inch.
Indeed it is.
Yeah.
And I'll just keep on stumbling. Right now it feels too humbling to tell you what I want. And the city's feeling queer and crass, with beer cans growing blades of grass to look like something new. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. That you love me, but I'm just too damn hungry for loving that I don't need. And I know that you like my shoes, but you wish you could count for every inch and every ounce of everything that you meet. And you'll die by the time you're 30. Slytherin snakes and garden rakes don't got what it takes to give you what you need.
Writing out that song title, how did you figure out how many O's to put in that?
It's basically lowercase O to it just goes to like height in the ooh, the peaks are zeros because that's the most elongated of the O's you can find on the keyboard.
Got it.
Oh, and really?
It's just based on the shape of the phrase.
Amazing. Why are you making puns? I'm asking this guy serious questions.
We can't have fun?
We can have fun.
He's the Punisher.
You just got bested. Snack Attack.
Snack Attack.
We got Oberhofer live on Snacky Tunes. You know, we never ask this question because it's such a question, but I feel like just for the lyrics.
That's how you're setting up the question?
Yeah.
Knock it out of the park.
Ready? Okay. I mean, it's a
big one.
Home run.
Home run. What's that song about?
Well, it's actually about two different things. There was one girl that I was like romantically involved with that was like a total stiff kind of, you know, she like wouldn't do anything because she was a Jehovah's Witness and like her parents wouldn't let her like hang out with anyone. She couldn't hang out with I wrote the song when I was like 16.
Okay.
And her parents wouldn't let her hang out with anyone. And so I was like, you'll die by the time you're 30. And she was like really like particular about everything. And then the other part is basically just about this other girl that I started dating later when I recorded the song, who basically depended on like drugs and like other guys to like make herself happy.
Yikes.
Yeah. That is not conveyed. I kind of wish I never asked. We need like a bummer.
What's up, dude? Teenage angst.
Yeah.
But it's a good song.
Everyone could have seen the face and just hair shaking.
I gotta say, I think we've learned on the show that a lot of good music comes out of some very dark places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless of how good it sounds. So
talk to us about tour. You're taking a little time off from school, right?
Yeah, I'm taking a year off of school.
Booyah.
Wait, so
spring break, whole spring break. Year.
We were talking about this before we got on. You told NYU that you're like, hey, I'm going on the road. Are they okay with things like that, considering you're a music theorist?
I actually haven't talked to my advisor in my music program. They've been pretty lenient with me. This semester, I took a month off to go touring, and they actually let me take incompletes in all of my classes for the most part. Just talk to my professors on, you know, like a one-on-one basis. And
yo, prof, I gotta go.
Yo, prof, I gotta head out.
It'd be one thing if you were like, I'm in biomed and I'm like taking off this semester to go try with my band, but they have to know that people in music theory might just so happen also be musicians.
I think the same thing happened with Andrew Bell, right?
Yeah.
We had Andrew Bell on, he was in school as well, and he's like, my career's taken off, so
you'll still be here.
Yeah.
They'll still be here.
Yeah, exactly.
But are the tours planned, or is it you're just opening up a year for yourself for the possibility?
Well, not all the tours are completely confirmed. However, parts of them are. And in January, for 2 weeks, we're going on tour with Cloud Nothings for 2 weeks. Then we're playing two shows in New York with a band called The Vaccines. And then we're going on tour for a month with Tapes and Tapes.
Oh, whoa.
Then we're going to head down to South by Southwest, and we're going to play some other shows, and hopefully head to Europe in the spring.
Oh, that sounds good.
So what are you looking forward to eating the most?
I'm really into ice cream, and every time I go to a new town, I like to go running and then eat something really unhealthy, and usually ice cream fills that void.
It's a good balance.
Yeah.
It's like the circle of life right there.
Yeah. Also, I really do like In-N-Out Burger. Like, I think it's really good, and I'm looking forward to that because it's a nostalgic flavor, and I don't often make it to the Southwest Coast, you know.
Do they not have it up in Washington?
No, they don't.
Okay.
They have Dick's Burgers, which is almost as good.
I've eaten at Dick's. I used to live in Seattle.
Yeah, but you have.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought we could avoid that.
Snack Attack.
But that's fantastic. So if you're not, are you signed to any label, or like when you go to South by Southwest, who are you going to play with?
Well, we're not signed to any label right now. We're putting out a 7-inch January 11th with a label called Inflated Records. It's a friend of mine, Dan. He's put out a Memory House 7-inch and DuckTales 12-inch so far. So he's got good things going on, and we made a really beautiful looking 7-inch, clear vinyl and beautiful artwork. So.
Do you have a hand in the design process for the artwork, or is it sourced out to a talented friend?
Well, for the Ooh 7-inch, it was my best friend Isaac back in Tacoma who made the album art, and I actually found antique photographs from Tacoma to use for the album art on this for the 7-inch on January 11th.
That's awesome. So we're gonna get into one last song, but before we do that, can we go through all the nuts and bolts, the listage, where can we find you online, all that good stuff?
Yeah, well, I have records for sale on insound.com, and you can also check out our MySpace page, and that's myspace.com/Oberhofer Music.
Can you spell that?
Oberhofer Music.
We'll let the fans figure out music.
Yeah, just Google me.
Yeah. And, well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
It was really great having you in here.
A pleasure. You're
the last live performance we're going to have for 2010.
I thought I'm getting on the mic next week.
All right. Well, he's going to get on the mic, but for...
Freestyle rapping?
Yeah, freestyle.
Terry on the mic next week.
Yeah, I might beatbox a little behind him.
I can beatbox well.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Give us like 16.
What?
Come on. Tell me that's being worked into the show. No?
For
no,
not real?
Yet. Not yet.
I might be involved in an anonymous hip hop project soon though.
We'll put it this way. We'll keep it anonymous, but you have to come back on the show when you guys form.
All right.
Deal?
Oh man.
That was awesome. Your jaw dropped. I literally watched your jaw drop.
You had like three noises coming out of your mouth at once.
That's what living in Tacoma does.
Yeah, triple threat.
Yeah, oh, triple threat.
All right, well, my mind's blown. Thank you to the Barter House for your wine.
Yeah, Barter House.
Thanks, Roberta, to Jack Inslee. Brad, thanks for joining us.
Nick Knack, Patty Whack, Bradley on the Snack Attack.
That's right, and big shout-out to Heritage Radio Network. We got crazy things coming up in 2011. We got one more show coming out this year. Thank you so much to Chef Richard Blaze. Please check out Top Chef Masters on Bravo this Wednesday. And the debut of the show that he started and that I directed... 10 p.m. Science Channel this Friday. Write your local congressman.
Blaze off.
And
so what is the name of this last song?
This song is called Pets/House. House, H-A-U-S.
Live on Snacky Tunes.
Right.
Here we go.
With you, a home, so we can be alone. And I've been running, I've been hiding, I've been falling down and climbing back up where they think they belong. Oh, let's go. You wouldn't try to tell me what you don't. Ooh. been slipping on my shoes. My tongue is swole, my lips are bruised, and I can't get up the hill. And I've been jumping through some leaves and chopping down some cherry trees. So I, oh, so I can tell, so I can tell the truth. To ears and eyes with a killer at your throat. I wanna build a house with you, a house with you, a house with you. I wanna build a house with you so we can be alone, so we can be alone.